Deep breath in and center ourselves. Going within, being the light and the love. Sweet, sweet spirit, I am in gratitude for this time together. I know infinite presence is all there is. Infinite presence, source of infinite gifts, gifts of celebration, joy, love, connection, freedom, inspiration, and so much more. I look around in my mind's eye and I see the wonders of nature, the sky, the birds, the ground, the flowers. And right now, I feel the sacredness of coming together in this mystical space. And I feel the oneness. We are one. One with divine mind. One with humanity. One with all life. In this alignment, it is a time for drawing forth every vision for our highest good. I know all the gifts of the universe flow through each of us as us. I know that in this time together, we celebrate, we rejoice, we love, we connect. The words spoken inspire. We are in the flow, expressing, revealing wholeness. The music blesses. In this space of infinite possibility, I am in gratitude. I release this into the law that always is working for us. And together we say, and so it is.
So our monthly theme, Unchained Spirituality, Unchained Spirituality. And our theme today is Free at Last. It's the line from an old Negro spiritual, as they call it, and it's a line that Dr. Martin Luther King used in his famous speech, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last. And so freedom is our exploration this whole month. This whole month we're looking at freedom. Alex already kind of referred to that a little bit in his opening meditation prior to the service. And I'm going to quote from Ernest Holmes from The Science of Mind itself, page 1, paragraph 3, which tells you how prominent this is, one of my absolute favorite Ernestisms. The divine plan is one of freedom. Bondage is not God-ordained. The divine plan, the infinite expression, is one of freedom. And so any place that we are enslaved or we have enslaved others is not in alignment with the nature of the universe. And yet we daily tend to enslave ourselves and others with outdated beliefs, outdated practices, and whether it's a pattern we learned for survival in childhood and still practice, even though the need for it, the circumstances have changed, they've passed. You know, I had a mantra for a long time to break myself of certain habits that said, my mother doesn't live here anymore. My mother doesn't live here anymore. And so to break through, break out of that pattern, or whether it's the collective practices of a society to restrict others based on their race, their gender, their religion, their nationality, or any other way that we separate ourselves from each other. As Alex said, that read that beautiful passage from Living the Science of Mind, there's the experience of the finite world, but it is not the ultimate capital T truth of life. And so we turn to that truth, which is where we find freedom. And so to experience a greater sense of the spiritual truth of freedom, we have to wake up to the bonds we have put on ourselves and the bonds we have put on others. And whether we do this for our individual selves by working with a spiritual coach or by taking classes or reading or listening to inspiring and freedom-inspiring messages, to see and release and let go of the blind spots, and we all have blind spots, or whether we're doing this as a society to become aware of the blind spots that where we've held people back, or where we've been held back by being part of those, by unreasonable, outdated beliefs and practices. It's uncomfortable work. We have to do the work, but it's uncomfortable. Anybody who's ever done inner work, anybody who's ever had to really look at themselves, we know it's uncomfortable work. And whether we're doing it individually or whether we're doing it collectively, it involves looking at things we absolutely knew were the right way. I know what's going on. I know what's right. You know, it's always been this way. And realizing, dang, we might have been wrong. I hate to be wrong. Do you hate to be wrong? We have to sometimes realize that we've been wrong about almost everything. And whether it's the alcoholic awakening to the real costs and the causes of his or her alcoholism and the denials of, I'm not an alcoholic, I could quit anytime, or whether it's a society waking up to its inherent practices of discrimination and saying, I'm not a racist, I'm not a sexist. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. And yet going through this discomfort, looking our shadows in the eye, staring them down and say, you are no longer going to run me, brings us to a greater expression of freedom, a greater experience of freedom, and brings us to the truth of our spiritual nature in a greater way than we have previously experienced. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. says the ultimate measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand at the times of challenge and controversy. It's that old, you never know what a person is like a tea bag. You don't know what they're like until they're in hot water. And so can we stand in that consciousness, even in uncomfortable, difficult times, and stand by the principles of capital T truth, the spiritual principles? Meister Eckhart, who's a 14th century Christian mystic, said, the spiritual life is more about subtraction than addition. You know, in Zen Buddhism, it's said the same thing. It's we're here to release what's in the way, to come to the no-thingness that is Zen. True freedom is not about acquiring more. It's about letting go of everything that is in the way of spirit expressing through and as us. It's letting go of our small self. It's letting go of our cultural beliefs. It's letting go of even the fear of loss and death. It's letting go of our need to control each other and to control God. God, you got to show up this way for me right now. It's letting go of even that need, along with our need to know and our need to be right. Ah, man, it's uncomfortable. Richard Rohr says we become ever more free as we let go of our three primary motivations. First, our need for power and control. Second, our need for safety and security. And third, our need for affection and esteem. Take a breath. We let go of our need for power and control, our need for safety and security, and our need for affection and esteem. As long as we're clinging to our view of the world and wanting this world to be the way our ego self wants it, we're not engaged in freedom, either for ourselves or anyone else. You know, as children, it was important for us to build a healthy centralized ego system. An ego from which to operate, from which to function in the world, because we need some degree of ego to work in the world, to function in the world. And as young people, as we started to form that ego and form, you know, our idea of ourselves and that central self, we used the process of rebellion, thinking it was the only method of moving into freedom, just rebel against everything. I've never done that myself, but I've seen others who've done that. Anybody who's seen pictures of me with my hair down to here knows that I definitely was involved in rebellion as a teenager in early 20s. As we mature, it's important that we decentralize from that ego. Because authentic spirituality, as opposed to just rebellion, is about finding true freedom. And so to move from our viewpoint, move our viewpoint out from I'm the center of the world, I'm the center of the universe, to seeing from a larger perspective. It's kind of the Copernican view of the world, that the earth is not the center of the universe. And of course, he got chased out of Florence and the Catholic Church just for daring to say that, because it was so rebellious at the time. And so just as most of us have come to realize that the earth is not the center of the universe, there's a few people still clinging to that old idea, but most of us have come to realize the earth is not the center of the universe. And so we have to let go of, we individually are not the center of the universe. We decentralize from our own viewpoint to expand, to see something bigger, to see with God's eyes, if you will. As we move to greater spiritually based freedom, the infinite love, that infinite love, which is the core nature of the universe, God is love, is able to flow through us and as us more freely. As we free ourselves from our old shackles and chains, we allow that infinite love to flow through us. We don't have to make it happen. We have to simply open to it. We have to say yes to it. We have to allow it. James Finley says, our deepest freedom, I'm going to caution this, that there's a little bit of a Christian view on this. Just work with me on this. Our deepest freedom rests not in our freedom to do what we want to do, but rather in our freedom to become who God wills us to be, who this infinite presence is wanting to be through us. This person, this ultimate self God wills us to be, is not a predetermined static mold to which we must conform. Rather, it is an infinite possibility of growth. You and I are infinite possibilities of growth. It is our true self, that is a secret self hidden in and one with the divine freedom. In obeying God, in other words, in bringing ourselves into alignment with this infinite presence, in obeying God, in turning to do God's will, we find God willing us to be free. God created us for freedom. That is, God created us to be God's self. And since God is free, we are expressions, we are created to be expressions of the freedom, expressions of the love. That is who we are. That is our nature. That is why we're here, is not to be in bondage, but to be the freedom, to be the love. Its will for us is freedom. And that's why we always tend to push more and more for freedom. Wherever there's constriction and bondage, we push against that. We resist that. We move away from that. And it's not an ego-based. We have to move for a freedom that's not ego-based, but is holistically based, seeing as God sees. So it's not the freedom of, oh, I have a constitutional right to not wear a mask or whatever. It's looking at the larger picture and say, I have the freedom to support all of life in being whole. And I say yes to that freedom. And it may take a seemingly long time by our human perspective, but it is inevitable. It is inevitable because infinite love, giving and receiving, is the truth of life. It's the truth of life. I'm watching a beautiful hummingbird right out my window here, just receiving the nectar of the flowers. Mm. Infinite love, giving and receiving, is the truth of life, and thus will eventually be freed. It is who we are. Meister Eckhart, I love this quote. Meister Eckhart said, for God, to be is to give being. For us, to be is to receive being. We are in this dynamic give and receive with the infinite. This dynamic give and receive. And when we can truly see everything, because everything is God, everything is this life expressing, when we can truly see everything as a gift, including ourselves, breathe, we will be free of the need to manipulate ourselves or others to gain our ego desires. We'll be free of the need to manipulate life, to manipulate the world, to manipulate God. We will simply see and perceive and love each other and ourselves, all of ourselves, as gifts. Only when we can let go of all of our ideas of myself, that ego self, and all its attendant fears and desires and its needs and all this stuff, can we truly become open to the flow of spirit. Otherwise, we're like the scholar in the Zen story, that the scholar who invites the Zen master to his home for dinner, and afterwards, after the scholar talks, the Zen master is pouring tea long after the cup is full and the cup is overflowing, to demonstrate how the scholar's fullness was in the way of his knowing Zen or spirit. We are all being emptied. We're all being emptied. If right now feels like a shattering and disillusioning time for all of us, it is. It is. We're all being emptied and shattered and disillusioned and laying as empty, broken vessels that find ourselves restored by and filled with the love and the freedom of spirit. We have to let go of our rigid selves, our preformed ideas of who we are, in order to become something more. This love and this freedom of spirit returns us to the sanity of our true self. This process, what we're going through right now in the world, reminds me of the Japanese art of kintsugi, which I've talked about before. It's where broken pottery is repaired with gold where there were cracks. And so the end product becomes more valuable than when it was perfect. None of us is, quote, perfect, and all of us are perfect, just as we are. It also reminds me of the line from the Leonard Cohen song Anthem, where he says, forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's where the light gets in. And so we have to let ourselves be cracked open, to let the light that's within us out, and to let the light that is outside of us in. When we can love ourselves, and when we can love each other's cracks, these cracks in our persona, and not just tolerate them, but see them as the true gifts that they are for ourselves and others, we will see and express a greater freedom, a greater love than ever before. And we'll receive the gift of life, beingness, always being offered by spirit, that gift of life, that gift of love that is always present. But we have to shatter our illusions that are holding us back from that. Freedom comes from within. I invite you to let it ring out. And so this week, three spiritual practices. First, notice your own cracks, your quote faults, your quote defects. Notice the places where you feel cracked. Don't hide behind the need for fake perfection, for false perfection. Just be willing to really look at who you are. And then secondly, love your cracks and love the cracks in other people. Love is the healing agent. Love is the healing element. See the gift within each of these cracks. And if you can't see the gift, and sometimes they're pretty difficult to see sometimes, ask to be shown. Ask your inner wisdom self to show you the gifts. Let go of trying to bang your head against a wall if that's all it is. Ask to be shown the gift. And then third, surrender these defects, these gifts, these cracks to spirit, to be reformed into someone new and more glorious, so that you can truly let your freedom ring. So that's our spiritual practices this week. Notice your own cracks, love them, and surrender them to spirit. Are you willing to play with that? So yes? Great. Take a breath. I have a long quote from Richard Rohr as our closing quote. The word emancipation describes a bigger, deeper, and scarier level of freedom. Inner, outer, personal, economic, structural, and spiritual all at once. Surely this is the task of a lifetime. Those who achieve this level of emancipation really are from another world. And frankly, they disturb and irritate those invested in smaller security systems. Notice that. If you are truly living authentically, those who are trying to live small and keep everything in little boxes will be irritated by you. Precisely because they cannot be bribed by payoffs, punishments, and rewards, their insider-outsider status allows them to be fully and freely involved in this world. Their final and full freedom is that they do not need to buck the system or see themselves as outsiders or mavericks at all. They simply are. I invite you to simply be. the authentic true self that is your true nature. We have an affirmation. And say this with me. I know and live in divine freedom. Every day, I make myself available to express that freedom in the world. And let's say it one more time. I know and live in divine freedom. Every day, I make myself available to express that freedom in the world. And that is all we're called to do, is make ourselves available. We don't have to make it happen. We just have to make ourselves available. So let us take a moment to take a breath. In closing. And remember that there is one presence. I know that there's one presence, one infinite oneness. Despite all the multiplicity, there is behind that multiplicity a unity. A unity. A oneness. A wholeness. There is this freedom and this love. It is already so. It is already present. Already available. Completely, totally. There's no bondage, there's no restrictions in the mind of the infinite. And I know that each of us, because that infinite presence is all there is, because there is no place where it is not, each of us is that already. We already are the wholeness. We already are the love. We already are the freedom and the joy that is the nature of the divine. And so I speak my word that we just continue to wake up to that at our own pace, in our own way. It's perfect. And allow ourselves to see and recognize the truth of who we are. There doesn't have to be a process. There is the immediate moment recognition, the awakening. We allow ourselves to be transformed in this holy moment. To be aware of ourselves as the infinite love, the infinite freedom, the infinite wholeness of the universe. And everything unlike that just simply dissolves into the no-thingness that it truly is. The weight of our bodies that are weighed down by our own old thoughts and patterns and by the polluting thoughts of this, of the race consciousness around us, simply releases that and moves into the light, sees that light, sees that love, and is free immediately. And gratitude. In gratitude for the life and the love and the light that radiates from us as we do this, as we know this, as we continue to open to this, for the blessing that we are in this world, for the gifts of love and freedom and light and wholeness and joy that we bring and that we are. I am so grateful. And so I release this word into a law that moves it into form and expression. It knows exactly how to do it. You don't have to figure it out. We just simply say yes. And the universe says yes right back, because it is already done. It is already so. And we simply acknowledge that by saying together, and so it is.